But before concluding, just a few words on the bearing of the Abhidharma on the spiritual life. The Abhidharma has such a bearing, of course, because it's an aspect of Buddhism, which is concerned with the spiritual life, with the development at the highest possible level of awareness. First of all, we find that the analytical psychology of the Abhidharma helps us to sort out our own mental states. It helps us to distinguish skillful states from unskillful states, wholesome from unwholesome, good from bad, and so on. And when we can distinguish in this way, we shall know what we have to cultivate and what we have to eliminate. And this knowledge is extremely useful, especially to the meditator, the one who practices concentration and meditation. And it makes clear for him, for his benefit, the whole rationale, as it were, of the spiritual life. In the second place, the analytical psychology of the Abhidharma helps us to see, helps us to understand, helps us even to realize that what we usually think of as the self, or I, is nothing but an ever-changing combination of mental states and mental functions. And this realization is for Buddhism of absolutely supreme importance. For Buddhism, this constitutes wisdom. Thinking not in terms of I, not in terms of me, not in terms of mine, but contemplating the flow, the flux, the impersonal procession of the Dharmas in their various groupings, their various combinations, mental states and mental functions. I hope, therefore, that this evening I've been able to give you some idea, at least a glimpse, at least an introduction to the analytical psychology of the Abhidharma. I hope I've been able to make clear in what sense the Abhidharma is analytical, in what sense it is a psychology, and also the general nature of its connection with its great parent, Buddhism.